encyclopedia, the content-free encyclopedia that anyone can edit. Sherlock Holmes was an author and stoner who wrote many mystery novels starring his fictional protagonist, Sir Arthur Conan O'Brien. Okay. Holmes, take a look at this.
What is it?
This is some sort of encyclopedia, except everything's false.
No, Watson, this is an encyclopedia.
How'd you know this, Holmes?
No, first, the logo on the top left is on the sphere as a potato. This, as I know from my experience, is the logo of the encyclopedia. Also examined a certain typeface, and we all know manuscripts of encyclopedias are always set in a serif font.
Remarkable, Holmes.
Elementary, Watson. Now, let us take a look at this article.
Why, Holmes, you are the subject of the century.
Not deduced. Oh, my, what a wretched half-unbound nonsense.
Well, look at the picture on the right. What is that?
It appears to have got the statue of me as frozen in carbonite.
Holmes, we need to rewrite this article.
What would you mean by we, Watson?
What?
You are the better writer after all, Watson, and I have to go solve a case of missing memes for which I've been called to this website.
All right.
Oh, and Watson, do try to keep an encyclopedic tone.
Well, do try to stop playing your violin at 3 in the morning. Okay, how do I do this? Okay, edit. Okay, Sherlock Holmes was a world-renowned private detective of the late 19th and early 20th centuries. His amazing skills for deductive reasoning and observation made him one of the foremost consulting investigators of all time. His companion, Dr. John H. Watson, with whom he shared a flat at 221B Baker Street, chronicled for many of his cases under the identity of Sir Arthur Detective Conan Doyle. At present, he is retired with no plans of returning to full-time crime investigation. Mr. Holmes was born in 1854 to a family whose ancestors were all country squires. Holmes, however, would have a different future ahead of him than cleaning up the mess made by leisurely gallant knights, this particular future being left to the eldest brother, Sherrinford, who would come to strongly resent his younger brothers. At the age of 8, he was already a child prodigy, showing great talent at the violin. This talent would unfortunately decline over time, such that by the time I started to cohabit with him, his rendition of Paganini's Capriccio No. 24 became unbearable. His second elder brother, Mycroft, became jealous and lost all motivation to do anything useful. Because of this, he would later join the British Civil Service. My speculators claim that he is the British Civil Service, which would at least explain its efficiency. Holmes went to Sidney Sussex College, Cambridge University, where he developed an interest in chemistry. Subsequently, he would blow up the entire school before deducing that the person who had done it was himself. It was here that, according to Holmes, the Lucasian professor of mathematics, Professor James Moriarty, became a sworn nemesis after being beaten in a game of chess in only 3 turns. After graduating, he wished to put his knowledge of chemistry to good use and attempted to join Scotland Yard, only to be rejected after making some embarrassing deductions by the supervising officer, vengeful, and wishing to exert more power over Scotland Yard than could possibly imagined, Holmes decided to set up a private consulting detective firm, one of the first of its kind. It was at this point that I met Holmes, and together we tackled a case that Holmes wanted to call A Study in Scarlet. After this, we tackled other cases, such as the one called The Sign of Four. After that case, followed a myriad of cases between 1888 and 1904, at which point Holmes retired to the Sussex Downs from my examination of the books he had borrowed, which dealt with subjects such as insect hives as stings. I deduced that Holmes was planning to pursue wasp keeping as a hobby, however, I was thankfully quite in the wrong there.
Dr. Watson, vanity articles are not allowed. This at 2009 February 2009.
Sis, what is your problem? Article restored. Admin 42, 2009.
Holmes disappeared from the world when he was presumed dead in a struggle between him and Professor Moriarty, his arch nemesis. Fans have dubbed this period between 1891 and 1894 as the Great Hiatus. However, as it turns out, my account of the story was entirely fabricated. Ah, Holmes, you're back. It was also the case.
It would appear so, Watson. A group of administrators and another mass users have been carrying out a systematic genocide of internet-specific memes in the name of satire.
Oh, brutal! How did you figure this out, Holmes?
Alas, this is when I feel I've become less and less necessary, Watson, for all this. I found the records of communications between users of this encyclopedia.
We shall always have Victoria in London, Holmes.
Now, I see you have written this article a great deal, Holmes.
Which reminds me of something. Ah, yes, Holmes. Do tell us about the time that you disappeared.
Ah, the Great Hiatus, as my followers have dubbed it.
Precisely.
Well, Watson, I must say that your false account of this hiatus was spectacular.
Thank you.
Possibly a bit over dramatic, although I do wish I were able to look into cold hard narratives now. I never went to such a place as Rackingbot Falls, as was outlined with the final problem earlier in the west of it, Moriarty, and then full of a rather inconveniently high precipice. None of this ever happened on this earth. In fact, there was no one on earth.
You had fallen down a rabbit hole.
There was no one on earth. I assure you, Watson, that this was in no way due to my cocaine addiction, and that the fall was entirely intentional. I did solve this case with a certain task, which I see, Watson, you still have not recorded.
Just a minute, Holmes. I do wish to expound upon my texts on the great hire that's in this article. Holmes himself has repeatedly claimed that he was trapped in Wonderland of Alice in Wonderland fame. However, I can affirm the truth that Holmes' cocaine habit, which I have repeatedly discouraged, I must know, led to the great hiatus. It all began when Holmes and I were sitting in our offices in Baker Street. Holmes was thinking very hard that day on a certain case involving a golden phonograph, a case that I shall one day outline. When he reached for his pipe, unfortunately, that day his absent-mindedness led to his reaching for his cocaine bottle instead. Evidently, he took too much advice, for soon enough, Holmes collapsed on the floor. For an instant, I thought the great man was dead. I rushed to his side, attempting to respond to the diagnosis of his condition. I feared for the worst when I rushed into St. Mary's Hospital, and the doctors there found my fears. Holmes's cocaine overdose had resulted in a coma that could last anywhere between 2 and 20 years. This was the great hiatus, a 3-year coma resulting from a cocaine overdose.
Just a minute, Watson, what do you mean to say that this experience was all a hallucination, only 3-year coma, whose cause was a cocaine overdose?
I never said any such thing, Holmes.
Are you sure, Watson?
Quite.
Very well, then, I shall now return briefly to the cocaine bottle, for this was more or less acceptable during the late Victorian period.
Carefully, only briefly return to it, Holmes. Let us talk about your methods, Holmes.
Capital Watson?
Holmes, your trademark skill is that of a pseudo observation, coupled with deductive reasoning.
Elementary.
In fact, as I recall, I have recently applied to the Intellectual Property Office for a trademark for you on Holmesian deduction. Registered trademark. If it worked, there should be a little registered trademark marks after the moment Holmesian deduction. Registered trademark.
Watson, what if I tell you about commercializing our work?
Anyway, tell us about Holmesian deduction. Registered trademark.
Yes, it was during the 19th century, despite the living threats of the Crimean War, the Industrial Revolution, and explosive century, that I perfected the analytic technique of assessing the value of evidence and evaluating the likelihoods and the construction of a framework within which the most probable outcome emerges. For example, Watson, I can deduce that you have been in Afghanistan merely by the air of your appearance, with your medical background, military mood, and your skin, and the injury of your left arm. I require no unjustified hypothesis to deduce this.
Remarkable.
Elementary. Now, Watson, let us see if you can't use Holmes' deduction, registered trademark, to infer details about the reader.
Yes, the username of the reader.
Watson, you failed to reason from what you see. Think about the potential of this single piece of information.
Yes, but of course, I can induce that the user page of this user is located at user colon username, and the user top page is located at user top colon username.
Watson, Watson, Watson.
But Holmes, could it not be that perhaps you are overusing Holmes' induction, registered trademark?
Watson, surely you know the reason that I deduce personal details about everyone is that I suffer from obsessive compulsive deduction syndrome, a gift and a curse.
But what, Holmes, if modern criminals study your cases and determine exactly how they are likely to be caught? Thus, using Holmesian deduction, registered trademark, ironically formed the basis of the plans.
Watson, there will always be other methods available.
Ah. Holmesian deduction, registered trademark, is one of Holmes' trademark skills and a method that has endured the past century and utilized in real-life police. Assessing available evidence within the carefully designed framework, Holmes is able to deduce the most probable outcome without making unjustified assumptions. One such example is Holmes deducing the fact that I had been in Afghanistan near the beginning of a study in Scarlet purely from concrete evidence and deductions from that evidence. Should Holmes' deduction register trademark fail, however, Holmes appears to have enhanced interrogation techniques in store. And that should be enough on your deductive reasoning techniques, eh? Now, Holmes... Wait, Holmes. Where are you, Holmes? Sherlock Holmes! You know Sherlock Holmes! Who are you? Where did you come from? I'm the Doctor!
Who?
The Doctor, Time Lord, Gallifrey, 97 years, I've never heard of it.
Holmes, your disguises are normally better than this one. Watson, I see your observation skills have improved. Was it the mention of an H sound at the beginning of some word, or just shortness of the scarf?
No, Holmes, it is merely the fact that you chose to disguise yourself in the section about disguise.
Ah, quite right, Watson, I will have to be more careful in the future.
But Holmes, you are indeed a master of disguise. You are absolutely unrecognisable in camouflage.
Very true, Watson.
For example, you were in an opium den, disguised so convincingly as an opium addict in both behaviour and appearance, that some might say you were yourself a purveyor of drugs.
Yes, I remember. Was this not in the case of the man with the twisted lip?
Yes, Holmes. Just a moment. Holmes is a master of disguises. In the past, he has fooled me with his methods and examples such as a scandal in Bohemia and the man with the twisted lip. Not only are his physical disguises convincing, but also his acting, always complemented perfectly. Mostly such disguises are a way of going undercover in order to gather evidence for his cases. So, has it occurred to you that such disguises may actually cause you to run into any trouble with the police?
What could you possibly mean, Watson?
Holmes, you were just impersonating Sir Doctor of TARDIS, who I believe is now an enemy of the Crown and is known to be able to change his face. Even if you were to reveal yourself, Holmes, you would therefore be suspect. What in that case, Holmes?
I presume that in that sort of case, the other option would be for you to post bail from it.
Holmes. Just a minute, Holmes. Were you really once a great fist fighter?
Well, I did box for a short while at City Sussex.
You are, however, a great deal better at martial arts, I presume.
Yes, but what use are either of those when they have both whips and revolvers, Watson?
Ah, let me scrap the section on weapons and martial arts I was writing and replace it with a brief note. While Holmes has to use a martial arts and is a reasonable fist fighter, he prefers to save effort by using his revolver instead. While he also possesses a whip in apparently an attempt to imitate the American Henry Jones of recent adventure and fame, he has yet to master his art fully. Now, Holmes, you are also a very knowledgeable man.
Of course, all knowledge confused with the detective.
What about, say, the belief that the Earth orbits the sun?
That would be an exception.
Well, so would be any knowledge of classical literature, classical language.
All exceptions, what's any useless things clutter the mind?
Well, except the fact that you have, of course, as a matter of fact, used knowledge in those last few areas in solving certain cases.
Watson, have you noticed how cluttered our flat appears to be?
Let us change the subject, Holmes. Let me write some more of this arc of this, and then we shall go into other matters. Holmes' stance on prior knowledge appears to be highly contradictory. In one story, he claims that useless things clutter the mind, which explains how little he knows about politics, astronomy, philosophy, etc. However, not only does he use a great deal of these useless things later on, but also he notes that all knowledge comes useful to the detective. Holmes tends not to wish to discuss this inconsistency.
Watson, I have to remind you once again that you must keep a sarcastic tone.
Oh, Holmes, I was just forgetting about this. And I really can't think of a better time than this to deal with Professor Moriarty. Holmes' great nemesis is Professor Moriarty, London's very own criminal mastermind. Holmes alleges that Moriarty, formerly a mathematical prodigy, unfortunately turned to crime and operated a massive criminal operation that Holmes was, at the time of the final problem, on the verge of destroying.
And apparently like a crime, Watson. Let me tell you, he was a very archetype of a modern supervillain, far too little of a world than good.
Tell me, was he really such a nemesis?
That is quite trivial, Watson.
So how come he has appeared only in two of our cases, Holmes, one of which was entirely fabricated?
What?
Yes, Holmes, he appeared in the final problem, the fictionalized account of advice, and in the Valley of Fear, where he did not make a direct appearance, but nevertheless did play a direct role. These were, however, the only cases. Here, I shall type that up at this very moment in this wiki, and it will become absolutely true. However, with the recent revelation that the final problem was entirely fabricated, the only real Moriarty played in any of the cases was in the Valley of Fear, where he actually failed to make an appearance in person. Some accounts suggest that Professor Moriarty was either entirely a figment of Holmes's imagination, or was an actual person to whom Holmes falsely attributed whatever cases he failed to solve.
Watson, you're not suggesting that.
Yes, Holmes, I am suggesting that he developed a split personality disorder while researching the latter case.
Are you suggesting that Professor Moriarty never existed?
Holmes, the man does appear to be a composite of Ramanujan and Gauss, the mathematicians, and some master criminals saying maybe...
He was the locating professor of mathematics at Cambridge University, was a mathematical prodigy who was the only individual capable of defeating not only me, but data itself.
Okay, he was merely a simulation, Holmes, whether or not it be a hallucination.
Watson, my cocaine intake is not damaging
anyway
to my health.
Freud's office, and that's final. This is for your own good. I fear this forcekeeping...
Beekeeping
business that may have aggravated the situation. But before we leave, Holmes, I do think we should talk about your legacy.
Captain Watson, if you hand me the keyboard. Holmes is simply the best detective in all of history, a man of such wit and skill. He is likely to be celebrated through the 24th century and beyond. Museums and societies have already doubtless begun operations to commemorate his infinite wisdom, his great methods of Holmes in deduction, a registered trademark, his disguises, his skill with the revolver, his titanic extent of knowledge, and the eternal struggle with his arch-nemesis Moriarty will be an integral part of history for the next few millennia. Such a legacy will do, Watson, would it not?
Holmes?
Yes?
You do realise your utter arrogance in saying that.
What, can you believe these imposters at Scotland Yard that are all at my level?
Holmes, if they had not brought you these cases, you would have been sitting idly.
And instead, I may have discovered, isolated, and determined all chemical properties of the Nova gases and would have been an honoured member of the Royal Society.
Holmes, you know what terrifies me about that?
That I am always right.
Quite. Right, Holmes, I'd be obliged if you'd return my keyboard to me. I shall now write on references to you in a popular contract. Okay, Dr. Gregory House, the main character of the Fox TV show House MD, is said to have some basis upon Holmes' character. The similarity is often evident between the two.
Absolute imposter! The imposter!
What is it, Holmes?
You mentioned House. That man is a fraud, Watson. That. Can you believe he uses anything less than 1% cocaine solution? Never quite a level of insanity.
Okay, I think we'd better leave for Dr. Freud before you hurt yourself, Holmes. Let us go to our stagecoach. Okay, further reading. Agatha Christie, Hercule Poirot.
Imposters, I tell you, imposters!
Come on, Holmes, please. No place like Holmes. Sherlock Holmes.